Let's go. Talk Radio.
Let's get it. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Welcome to the Empowerment Hours, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, coming to you live again. We're talking about issues that are relevant to the African-American community, things we need to do to change and grow. We're going to get started right now. Oh, yeah. No matter love. Hey, hey, there is no better love, no better love than for self and kind, no better love. Welcome again. It's Empowerment Saturdays, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's Mother's Day weekend, so shout out to all the mothers, our sisters, and our queens. Let's keep doing the work of keeping everything in line, because we know with the sisters, they're going to keep it together. That's what we need, because the sisters are the backbone to our community. There's no doubt about that. So to all you sisters out there listening, thank you so much. Thank you for doing what you do. That is holding it up and holding it down until the man and the brother come back around. That's what we need in our community today. We need power and we need relationship. All right, so let's get down to it. Again, this week we're going to talk about developing a code, right? Curing ourselves. How are we going to heal? We need healing. We need empowerment. We need motivation. And we need a code. What's the code? You're probably asking yourself. What's the code, Marvin Rome? What's the code? Well, I'm going to tell you the code in just a few minutes. But first, I have to give you the pillars and the tenets to the National African American Empowerment Association. That is, one, to have a political agenda. We must have a political agenda. We must have a political agenda. One, that serves to create laws and rules and support for our community that develops us, right, that secures us. We have to have politics that work for us. We just do. That's wherever you are. If you live in a city, a town, state, whatever state you live in, but a national agenda. We're talking about national politics here. How about having a national black agenda politically that really speaks to our needs, because we have them. And we have to be able to define those needs. And again, we can't just be in denial, right? That's over. We cannot keep denying what the issues are. And we need policies in place, and we need economic support, and we need the kind of support that's going to give us the education and the systems that we need. E, again, economics. We need an economic agenda. I'm going to say it every week. Right, y'all gonna get tired of it until we decide to do something about it. But until we have those economics in place, and that's the key, better get your money game together. We got to get on the ground with some good fiscal sound practices, right? Are you managing your bank accounts well? Are you spending frivolously trying to live the American dream? I'm just saying tighten your belt. Manage what you got, right? And be a good steward of what you got coming in, right? So produce, replenish, and then put back. Right, put back, save some money, right? Get you a good plan for savings, and that way you'll have a little something to fall back on just in case anything happens. I know your mama taught you that. I know your mom and daddy taught you that. If you didn't, guess what? You just heard it from me. Create a savings. I don't care if you put 5 cents in, 10 cents, $10, whatever you need to do, you need to create a savings, and then we need to have, again, an agenda that speaks to our economics across the land. Athletics is the A. I'm spelling out peace just in case you didn't get it. Athletics, we need an athletic health, wellness, and fitness agenda. Right? Are you taking care of your body? Are you taking care of your mind, your body, your mental health, your physical health, your emotional health? What are you doing? Are you working out? Did you walk today? Did you walk this week? I'm asking the questions. You're going to have to say yes or no to yourself. Did you do what it is you need to do to pull back from the plate, from the table? Right? Did you mentally stimulate yourself in a way in which you are growing and learning something new and something different? Are you working on developing a progress report for yourself where you're working on your personal change and your personal development? You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to work on yourself. It's mind, body, and spirit. Who's going to take care of you but you, right? And then you have to have a mental agenda. That means you got to protect yourself mentally from these folks out here. You got to put on your mental covering, right, that protects you from the diseased state of mind that we deal with. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to be able to connect with yourself to be able to support that. Then you have to have a cultural, that's the C, cultural agenda that refines us. It helps us to define ourselves, and we can create boundaries. That's what we're going to talk about today, developing a code of ethics. What is our cultural code of ethics, right? What are we going to do to make sure that we insulate our kids with morals and good values and good standing ideas and concepts that lead them down the right path of being good people and not murderers? I'm sorry, I had to say that, right? Not abusers, you know, from the old days when we've been traumatized and abused and mistreated, you know, where we came from, so to speak. Culturally, that's still in our DNA and still in our actions, and all you have to do is look around the country, wherever we are, the situations that, that same thing continues to go on. When are we going to stop it? Because our agendas would do that. And it brings us to E, education. It's a comprehensive education, right, that we teach our people what we need to know about our history, our culture, and ourselves, to become the best people that we could be, to rise and shine back to the top of the totem pole and not at the bottom or not the tail. We are the head. You got to be the head. You got to be one to be at the top. I'm sorry. You got to inspire yourself to say, hey, I ain't going to be second fiddle to nobody. That ain't personal. That's just being a human being. Nobody's better than you. I'm sorry, that's the truth. You're going to have to get your agendas together. And again, it's all about peace, peace in home, peace in the family, and peace in the community. But it starts with you. It starts with you today. So I am going to, Brother George is off this week, but guess what? You got me to do the Willie Lynch moment, so I'm just giving it to you real quick. I'm starting with the Kwanzaa principle first. So this week's Kwanzaa principle is collective work and responsibility. Ujima, Ujima. That means to build and maintain our communities together. And that means to make our brothers and sisters' problems our own. Ain't nothing wrong with them. And then solving it together. Can you practice that this week? Right? And again, we got to understand the law of problem ownership, right? You can't just take away our brothers and sisters' problems that they create for themselves, but we can support and we can assist. But you got to own your own problems, and you got to be responsible for what you do, think, and say. I'm sorry, that's just it. So that's the third principle. Let's commit to being active and informed, right, that we work together on matters of common interest. And if you go back through the peace principle, all of them are common interest for us. Our political agenda, our economic agenda, our health, wellness, and fitness agenda, our cultural agenda, and our educational agenda. And that will bring peace in our community as sure as I'm talking right now. All right, now we're going over to the Willie Lynch moment. And Willie Lynch today is kind of defining what Willie Lynch is, right? So Willie Lynch kind of is combining the lynching law, right, with what this man named Willie Lynch came to do for the colonies. And so what we refer to as lynching or as Willie Lynching is hanging of the black man. But once Willie Lynch saw how our people were being destroyed, he came up with a practical practice to be able to teach the planters how to be able to maintain their slaves. And his main purpose was to teach white society how to convert the black man into a slave, right? And his theory was classified in this way. You want to keep the economy strong, so you keep the body, you don't kill them, but you take the mind. Keep the body, take the mind. Remember that. So when you think about the mindset and the train of thought and the conditioning that we're functioning in, you can go into any city, just look at it, go Google it and look at the murder rates and look at the crime and look at the violence, right, and look at the poverty, and that is a system that's been created, that's fostered out of all of the iterations, black codes, segregation, integration, mass incarceration. You just keep going on and on. But if we have an agenda and we work that thing well, things will change, and it won't be nothing nobody can do about it but us. Sorry, that ain't personal. It's just the truth. So we have to get into alignment. We got to align ourselves with what's good about us and keep the ball rolling. We have to develop a code of ethics, right, an effective way to establish guidelines for how we're going to act. That's what we're going to talk about today. Whether it's an individual or within a group or organization or our community, you better decide for yourself right now. Send this show to somebody who need to listen to it. If you're a person of color, you need to be listening to these shows and think about how you're going to develop your code within your family, right, within your community, so we could get going. Right, so I'm going to start with a clip, and I want to break this thing down a little bit first, because I want y'all to understand what's going on, right? And so I'm going to to this clip is from the Planet of the Apes, and the reason why I chose that is because they had a code, right? And I want you to hear what that code is. It's really short. So right now, what's happening in this scene is there are two apes, right? They had a conflict, and this one brought the code to the other one, and so he was about to kill him, and he used the code. So listen carefully.
Yeah.
I wish it would hurry up and cover myself. It's getting close. It's just a one-liner. I'm on pins and needles myself. There it was. You didn't hear it, but I'm going to tell you again, right? What it really said was, ape, not kill, ape, right? That was their code. And so what they did is they had codes. Listen to me very carefully, right? The code was ape, not kill ape, and I'm going to apply that to African Americans. We don't kill each other, right? They can fight. They can hurt each other. They can even beat each other near death, but they can't kill each other, right? And that's a really simple premise, right, about how the model of the principle of the idea of not being able to destroy one another. That's a human principle, right? And we've gotten out of line with that because we are stronger when we are together. We are stronger than when we are together. So the whole idea is that we weren't meant to kill one another. And that means that we have to take three things into account: responsibility, accountability, and liability. All right, so we're going to talk about those today. I'm getting ready to go to the lines. And guess who's up first? 9282. Let me crank it up for you. Oh, yeah. We got this show going. 9282.
Bring it. What?
9282. What's happening?
Hey, nothing. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Hope all is well with everyone.
Hey. How you feeling, brother?
I'm good. What about yourself?
Man, I'm over here trying to get us to have some ethics and some values and some codes for how we act and how we engage with each other wherever we live. What you got, brother?
Yes, sir. I want to just add this. We've been talking for a while now that we got to be honest with ourselves. We there's some certain things we have to admit. And when we look at our past, although I know we moving forward, but we need to understand something about our past. And I wrote it down this morning, and being honest with myself, I must admit, I was made a nigger. In my past, I was made a nigger. But I need to understand,
right.
I was born a god. And that's the part where we don't understand
that.
And we fall short of not understanding our past and not being honest with ourselves. I was made a nigger. I was made a man who had to submit to another man's will. I was made a man who had to let a man walk into my home and pat me on my head and go into the room and make love to my wife with me sitting there drinking some liquor he just gave me. I was made a nigga. I was made a man that had to watch a man come into my house and take my children and take them somewhere else and sell them to somebody else without being able to do nothing about it. I was made a nigga. I was made a man that started to compete with each other for the crumbs on the table of this other man that I'm submitting to. I was made a man that had to speak another man's language and give up my own. I was made a man that had to worship another man's god and not even know my own, not even have any knowledge of my own. I was made a nigger, but I was born a god.
I heard that.
That's the part what I must find out. I must be honest with myself and find that God in me And we, each one of us, have to do it one at a time, each individual. But it starts by saying and being honest with ourselves and committing and admitting, I was made a nigger. I was made this fool that I now am. I was made this man that run around shooting my brothers and sisters, that run around spraying bullets in my neighborhood, driving by. So I'm so damn scared to face up to the one that making me do it. I was made that man. I was made a nigger. But I was born a god. I just didn't have my parents, my teachers, my brothers, my sisters around to bring that out of me, because all they did was help reemphasize the point that I was made a nigger. They helped make me a nigger. They helped make me what they were and what they had been made prior to making me one. I was made a nigger, but I just don't know I was born a god.
I like that.
That's what we have to get back to, brother. We have to understand. We got to be honest with ourselves. And with each one, it just hurt me so bad a couple of weeks ago when you said, when I said move back home, and you said that, brother, ain't going to happen. Because we just don't see. We don't want to be around each other. We don't want to do those things. That's self-hatred to its core. I was made a nigger.
But
I was born a god. And we spend our lifetime trying to be first nigger to do this, the first nigger to be an admiral in the Navy, the first nigger to be this congressman, the first nigger to be a governor, the first nigger to be the first nigger. I was made to be a nigger, but I was born a god. We run around trying to be first nigger this, first nigger that, first nigger this, nigger, like old McDonald on the farm. Old McDonald, nigger over here, nigger over here, nigger there, everywhere, old McDonald. I was made to be a nigger, and I'm talking about myself, but I was born a god. That's what we need to understand about the past before we move forward. Understand what it is that is still dwelling on us and kicking on us and controlling us to this moment, to this day. You know, I was made to treat my woman like another man treat his. My master. I was made to be a nigger, but I just don't know I was born a god.
That's right.
That's
born
what
to be
I'm
a god
with, brother. Yes, sir.
All right. All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate
yes,
that.
Sir,
y'all got
you.
Here for that time. Hey, you ran that nigger thing today, boy. Woo-hoo. Lit it up. I know it. Somebody is on fire today with that. I'm like, I can't. He keeps saying that because he really made a good point, right? You got to know who you are. That's all I'm saying. And so today we're talking about developing a code, that code of ethics, that code that says you're going to have to be responsible. Who's asking our people all across the board to be responsible? That means you need to accept the consequences of your decisions and your actions. What decisions and actions are you making to ensure that the next generation gets through? Are you accountable? Are you determining who's responsible for the actions that are being taken, right? How can we let stuff continue to go on without checking it? And then lastly is being liable, right? Do we have some systems in place to hold accountable and liable those individuals, right, that are responsible for the damages that have been done to us and other individuals, right? By the organizations and systems that they have created. I'm sorry, those are the three that we're talking about today. We're creating a code of responsibility, accountability, and liability, right? Because they are liable to some damages, right, that keeps us dysfunctional from the beginning. And I think I'm not going to talk about reparations today, but I think we deserve a clean slate. And I think we need resources to rebuild ourselves and our communities. I think we need resources to educate ourselves and to build ourselves well. And I think we need resources, period, to get things going again. We need businesses. We need a lot of help. We need advocacy. We need resources, right? We need to create a fiscal and financial stimulus package for us, right, that helps with us in the areas of entrepreneurship, wealth building, right, for our community so we can reduce crime, violence, and poverty. So the question is, who really cares, right?
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares?
Who really cares? right? I'm getting ready to go over to 8128, but I just want to know who cares. My brother said this last week. He said they made some songs back in the day about saving the babies. We got to ask ourselves, do we really care about our children? And we let them suffer through a whole lot of things, right? They have to feel really good about who they are. When they walk out your door, are they proud with their chin and chest up, ready to get going? Are they trained and developed and organized really well? I'm going on over to 8128. 8128, I'm getting ready to come to you right now. I had to play that for my brother. 8128. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
Bring it! What?
We right here. 8128. 8128, are you there?
How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing well, my brother. How are you?
All right, baby. I'm always saddened, but also inspired by the conversations that we hold and the situations that we find ourselves discussing, because they are necessary conversations. You're talking about a code of ethics. We have to develop an identity before we can develop a code of ethics. Most of the things that are going on are based on a lack of or a lack of commitment or a negative commitment to an abuse. Okay, the brother was talking about the nigger. Okay, if you consider yourself a nigger, before you know or have, you call yourself easing or making it an acceptable term. But if you're running around as a young man, as an adolescent, as a preteen, calling yourself a nigger, you have no identity of what that nigger meant. You are using the old term. You're using that Willie Lynch term. You're using that Willie Lynch mentality, especially if you see in yourself in a debilitated state. If you see your family, your community, your parents, your peers, your role models, if everybody is calling themselves a nigger, but it means something negative, it makes me easier not to see myself as anything important. Or anybody else in prison. So I can go ahead and shoot you and kill you and shoot into a crowd and kill anybody who stands, because what? Because we all niggas. And niggas don't mean nothing.
What?
Nigga ain't worth nothing. I have no identity. I have no commitment. I have no loyalty to anything at all. Where do I get it from? If I'm a nigger, and from what I understand, niggers were slaves and niggers were nothing. Where do I see myself, my family, my community as having any kind of moral or ethical base for me to base me being somebody on, other than somebody who has to try and see whatever it is I can be through what this society says is money? And sometimes it ain't even money. It's about me even feeling something about myself, because I certainly ain't feeling good if I'm running around here shooting and killing people and anybody who in the way. So the thing is without an identity, you can't have anything else. And you don't have any loyalty to yourself or to anything else, because you were never shown its value. You never get any value. You're never going to be able to value anything, starting with yourself. So we got to start from the ground. The ground
that's
is
true.
That, yeah, you know what I'm saying? The ground is where you've got to build a foundation. You know, who am I? What is my value? Right? Why am I valuable? And how can that be a reality in my eyes when all I see around me is valueless? According to this society, that. So, and then, of course, you're not even explaining any of this to me, all you're doing is representing its devaluation by you living in it, by you not fighting against it, by people talking against us and about us being overlooked all the time. What you see amounts to what is, because those are the things that are controlling. So, I mean, and like you say all the time, brother, it's just the truth, okay? And if we don't deal with the truth, you know what I'm saying, we live in lies, okay?
Uh-huh.
But these kids ain't living lies. These kids ain't living lies. They're living exactly what they see, feel, hear, and has been reared in. Life is meaningless. Life is meaningless. So I'm going to take it. I'm going to take mine. I'm going to put mine in the line of fire. I'm going to put somebody else in the line of fire because it's meaningless. You cannot do it otherwise. You can't do it. If I love you, if you're my brother, if you're my sister, if you're my community and I love you, I can't shoot you. I can't shoot you.
Mm.
It is just, I mean, that sociopathic behavior is where you start. You start because you have no connections with love, with honor, with caring, with identity. Come on. Yeah, no. Nothing. You know, we got to start at the bottom basement, at the digging of the foundation. Who am I? Who am I? And why does it matter? Eh? And certainly, who does it matter to? Because they don't see anybody that matters. At least nobody reaches.
True.
Okay? And it starts, and if it's in the kids, it's in everybody. It's in the community. It can't be in the kids without it's in the community. It can't. You know? Kids ain't got it.
Right.
They don't go nowhere to do it. It's spoon-fed to them. That's the only way that they could be that entrenched in that attitude, that behavior, and that viewpoint. We got a lot of work to do, brother. We got to start at the beginning. We got to start. I mean, it's on all levels, okay? You can't reach the kids without reaching the parents, without reaching the family, without reaching the community.
Got that
without
right.
Reaching, you need to reach the child, right? Because the child's going to offer all those things first. He don't see a discrepancy in it, or else he could not shoot into a crowd of children and babies and be okay. He does not see a discrepancy. Or else you would not even attempt to do something like that. Okay? It's just a fact. Okay? You know? So our work is really, really deeply cut out for. We got
You got that right.
With everybody. You know, people just, like you say, brother, what we need to start with is taking responsibility. We got to take responsibility. You know? Okay?
True.
For what we have real. Okay? You know?
All right.
You may not like
I'm going to have to wrap around.
You know, brother.
I'm going to have to wrap around, brother. I'll be back to you in a few. But I appreciate that.
Okay.
Listen, a lot of us have been empty for a long time. And I'm talking about some of our professionals, right? Some of us that get up and go to work and make six figures or more are empty, completely empty on the inside. It's the same emptiness, just in a different way. It's just a different emptiness, right? Because we continue to pretend to be people that we aren't, and that battle is going to go on in the inside of you about you pretending to be somebody that you aren't. There's a term for that. So I'm asking today, when are we going to take responsibility for ourselves and for our communities? The brother said we need to start with love, honor, and caring. But if you don't love yourself and honor yourself and care for yourself, how can you love, honor, and care for somebody else? Right? You got to understand who you are, right where you are right now, and make a decision right now that you're going to commit to doing something to make a difference wherever you are. I don't care what you do. Volunteer. Do something. Give money. Start an organization, right? Do a talk show like this, talking about the stuff that you want, but do something. We need you right now, right? We need your family, your friends, and your relatives, because we have to develop a code now, right, of ethics that is effective at establishing guidelines about how we gonna act now, right, in this season that we're in. And it's up to us to do that. How are we going to be able to teach, train, and develop our people to be the best that they can be? I'm going to slide on over to first. But first, hold on. Y'all know I got to do this. I'm going to talk to my brother Stan. Stan, what you got?
But we must unify.
I believe
and,
that.
And don't let's not sabotage ourselves.
We've been
we
doing this, Stan.
Look as to what we can't do. We can do all things.
That's right.
We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are,
mm-hmm.
original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
That's true. We got to be honest with ourselves. We can do it. We're here. And since we're here, we might as well establish a firm foundation for having a good future for our kids. I'm getting ready to go over to 4683. 4683, are you ready to talk to me today? 4683, I'm getting ready to bring you in the right way. Come on.
Bring it. What?
What? 4683, 4683, you're live on the Empowerment Network. Marvin Rohn, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing just fine. And I was listening to everything, and when you were saying the word nigga and this and that, basically how I look at it, that's just a root word. And that root word has taken on such a thing that people are proud of it, okay. But the negative side of that they have taken on the word now, everything negative we now cultivate into love. Oh, I love you, B. Oh, you just a little piece of S. Come on, Grandma SP. Come on, you little blanket. Come on, you little blah, blah, blah. You get to hear those words as a baby, then you think it's normal. Then you're not upset when you get somebody call you. Well, I'll put it to you like this. I just so happened to have grown up where we were always the minority. And when I went to an all HBCU college, I graduated from Tennessee State University. I'll never forget someone say, "You B," when she called me that, I cried. I'm like, what did I do to her? Why did she call me that? And I got to crying. And then when someone found out what I was crying about, they started laughing. Girl, that don't mean nothing. That's just how we show our love. I'm like, oh, wow. Black culture was the most, I was traumatized, I'm just going to say the way it is. I was so surprised on how black people spoke to one another. Because I didn't grow up around it. I knew my history. I was proud of my history. But being in the culture of it, going to Tennessee State University, dealing with black people from all over the state, I never heard so much love put into such negativity words that they can't love. So,
come on.
Like, girl, that's just them showing your love. I'm like, oh my God, if that's love, then I don't need it. I'm like, it was culture shock for me. And so I never went, and I didn't run into other black people like myself at Tennessee State University. But what I did is I just sat back and I listened. I listened how we gravitate. Okay, you can't wear this color, you know. I'm not talking about the Greeks, but people from up north, the top hats and the kings and the gangs and the 23s, and you take something that's name brand and associated with your gang, then nobody can wear it. I never could figure out that when we come back for brand practice, all the top hats, aristocratic band people's shirts still look new, because in Chicago, they couldn't wear that because it belonged to a gang. I think when we look at the word nigga and we just look at the negativity of it, the word nigga is the root that people have now taken every negative, slanderous word and put love behind it. And if you have never grew up like that, then you won't understand, because I'm telling you, when that young lady called me a B, how about I lost it? I just went up to myself and cried. And then someone told me what it meant. Well, I think this is a very good show. I enjoyed listening to it, and everything that everyone is saying is absolutely right. But I was just want to let you know that I'm just one of those black people. I'd hear more of the negativity coming out of the black community and associating it with love and this and you my dog and you my this and all be. And so, you know, I'm done.
All right. Thank you, sister. I appreciate you. You made some great points.
You're welcome.
So let's think about this, right? I'm going back to the beginning. I talked about Willie Lynch and his whole idea, right? His ideology was to be able to convert a man, right? Like the brother said earlier, he was created a god but made into the N-word, right? So the whole goal was to convert a man, a human being, into a slave, into a mentality, into a mindset, right? And that was to teach this theory, right, of being able to classify us and to be able to break ourselves down so we could support an economy, right? And his theory was, listen clearly, keep the body, right, and take the mind. We ain't killing them no more. We're going to take the mind and make that mind do what we want it to do. Right. And so as we continue to move forward, how are we going to think about the psychology that we deal with every day? Right. About how we talk to ourselves and how we see and treat ourselves based on what it is that we learn in this culture and society. We're going to have to take a really hard, long, strong look at that and begin to repair ourselves. Again, this theme is curing ourselves. How do we cure ourselves? By healing our minds. Right, of the garbage that's been placed down inside of us, how we see ourselves. That is the $100 million question. When are we going to wake up and see that we're going to have to change some things within ourselves? It's going to be us that have to change our own mentality and our own consciousness. And it's people like you who want to call into the show and share your points of view and perspective. And then we get on the ground and start working for change. Because change is just not going to come. It's work that needs to be done to get change. Change don't just happen, right? Change happens as you continue to make it happen. So can we make something happen? Right, I'm going over to 3636. 3636, is if you with me and you're ready to talk, man, we got a good show going on here. Oh, yeah. Come on. 3636, are you talking today? I'm Marvin Rowan. You are live on the air. 3636. Going once. Going twice. I'll try to come back to you. 3636, just want to listen, and that's cool. Right? So how do we continue? I'm moving on over back to 9282. 9282. You there?
Yes, sir, my brother. Yes, sir. I'm
all right. What you got?
I'm just going to say I totally agree with what brother was saying earlier about that self-hatred. And because of that self-hatred, we do the things we do to each other, to ourselves, because that's self-hatred. That, like you say, you got to go to the foundation, to the core of the problem. We've got to change that self-hatred, or we can't move forward. Because we need to wake up sooner than soon, if not yesterday. Because when we open our eyes to see what's going on around us, the system is falling apart before our very eyes, and we don't see it. We do not see it. The system is crumbling. You know, Babylon is falling, and we don't see it. I heard a white boy on the MSNBC show earlier today. He said, the greatest threat to democracy, to our system, is the Republican Party. He said, that's the clear and present danger to America right now, the Republican Party. What was he saying? Racist white folk. So now you got the so-called racist white folk angry as hell and in their mind getting ready to have a revolution. They're getting ready to revolt because they can't stand what they're seeing happening to in their mind, their country. Okay? And we in the unenvious position of hoping that the so-called good white folk going to protect us from their racist brothers and sisters. Because that's where this country is. right now, and we've got to open our eyes and see this crap, man. This thing is falling down. We could wake up next week and not have no Social Security, not have no welfare, not have no Medicare, no Medicaid, and be a whole new system. What are we going to do at that point? All retirement systems will be gone. They out the window. No more stock market. This thing changing. The whole government is falling. But we hanging on to that Democratic Party and hoping, oh, yes, it'll never happen. Not in today's country. Not in today's America. There's too many people out there that's standing up for righteousness and holding tall. You saw it. There's too many. That'll never happen in America. Well, you got one party that's totally against another party right now, a group of all white folks, and we know that they representing the racist white folks in the country as if they're not racist themselves. Trying to blame Trump. It's the Trump party. No, it's not. It's racist. It's white folks that are sick and tired of this action, and Trump is just the front man, the face of it all, they say. But this has been going on since we have been in this country. You know, it's set up to be a certain way. And if it can't be that way, it will be no way at all. We need to see this. We need to open our eyes and see what's going on around us. It's two systems, Republican and Democrat. You got a right to vote, but you only can choose between one of those two. What kind of choice is that? I suppose I got freedom of choice, but my choices are limited. I only got two things to pick from, Republican or Democrat. You know, nothing else. But I'm a free man with freedom of choice. No, I need more choices. I need more options. Because I may not agree with neither one of them. So what if I don't agree with neither one of them? You know, it's changing before our eyes, and we need to wake up and see it. You know, we need to wake up and see it. The economy falling off, like how good it's supposed to be looking now. The economy is, I mean, what's keeping it going now? The stimulus package, giving everybody unemployment, giving them more money from unemployment than we made working. That's why Negroes ain't going back. I'll be nice. Negroes ain't going back to the job. They're making more unemployment, weekly unemployment benefits than they were on the jobs.
That was nice,
brother. In the service industry, you know. And so what's going to happen when they cut that off and go back to the reality, okay, no more checks coming? What are we going to do? The setup is just crumbling right before our eyes, and we refuse to see it. We just know, like in the movies, the white man coming on that white horse at the last minute going to save us all.
Man, I love you, brother, but I don't want to keep talking about white people. I want to talk about what we could do, what we going to do. We already know about them. We know all the games that they play. Now, don't get me wrong, right? We've seen it 1,000 times, and they keep playing over and over again, right? So we start out with the Willie Lynch moment, talking about what they did so we can frame it really well. But then what do we do to develop that code, right, in our communities, in our families, and in our homes and in individuals, that we begin to establish guidelines for how we're going to behave, how we're going to treat each other, how we're going to talk.
The code should be not the ape code of ape don't kill ape. Our code is I'm going to love myself.
All right, I like that.
Just do that. Do
I like that.
That. I'm going to love myself. As a black man or a black woman, I'm going to love myself and kind. Do that. That takes care of everything else.
I like that.
You know, you ain't got to say I'm not going to kill, you know, black going to kill. I'm going to love myself.
That makes me feel good on the inside.
That's that code. That's the code. Find the God in yourself. You know, that's the key. Find the God in yourself. And the young man that rode through the neighborhood shooting up had found the God in him as no way and loved himself. Ain't no way, like the brother said earlier, when he'd been riding through the neighborhood shooting no guns. There's no way.
Well, that's true. But we're going to have to be able to change. We're going to have to be able to get that word down inside of our people. That we're going to have to love ourselves more than we hate ourselves. And like the sister said, we have developed this flip-flop idea about what love is. Because love is hate.
Right.
Love is hurt. Love is disrespect. right?
Well, the bottom
which
line,
which we
truth
learned
be told
in slavery.
Well, truth be told, from black men's perspective, if you really gonna talk love, you talk
watch
sex.
This, y'all. Come on. Not that love.
That's in our mind. We talking. So we talking about love. We talking sex. We fall in lust, not love. Because see, I can lust a woman and still hate myself. But God knows my lust for her is keeping me going in my crazy, sick mentality. We, like I said earlier, we don't understand what true love is. You know, I've said it before. Biblically, the Bible asks the question, what greater gift you give a friend in your life? So in other words, the Bible's saying you will die for your friend. Now, if I'm going to die for my friend, what will I do for my family? What will I do for my own, for myself? I will give it all. You know, everything. What greater gift can I give than my life?
That's why
most people don't have a lot of friends. You know, when you understand what a friend supposed to really is, then our number of friends started to shrink. You know, first, how many friends you got? Oh, I got 30, 40, 50 friends. Well, the Bible said a friend is someone that you've been willing to die for. How many you got now? Oh, two. You know, it's a difference. And that's where we need to be. The love, and it starts, go back to it again, love of self. Love of self and kind. That's the code. We've got to get that code. And I guess one of the ways you get that code, you talked about character. You demonstrate it yourself. When people see you, they see your code. They see
that's your action.
Demonstrating
now you're talking.
what you preaching. You know, that's how you just can't tell me to love myself. Show me what loving myself looks like. You know, show me what loving and caring for my people look like. That action. You know,
true.
Demonstrate it. You know, demonstrate it. Demonstrate it. Have your women come up to you, you know, loving you and can honestly look at you and say, the man never raised his voice at me, never raised his hand at me, been most loving, caring example for my children or myself or what God's like. I mean, that's the man I love and married to. I know he loves me and will die for me and my family and his people. So actions show it, you know?
That's right.
And that way you say, I don't care if nobody else does it, I'm going to do it. I might be the only, I'm going to be nice again, Negro on the planet doing it, but I'm going to do it. Regardless of nobody else doing it, I'm going to demonstrate that love of myself and my people.
All right.
You know,
all right, brother.
I won't do
I'm
you
gonna
wrong.
Wrap back around.
Yes,
I'm trying to get you before the end.
Yes, sir.
But
brother.
I like that. I like it. Thank you.
Sir.
All right. So again, think about this, right? We have a need for good leadership. We need strong families. We need to develop our children again. We need good mothers and fathers. We need great dads, great mothers, great grandparents, right? We need that. We got to give our children some hope and a chance for the future that, again, teaching them to be honest with themselves, but teaching them to love themselves, right? Like the brother said, we need an identity, and we need to make a different level of commitment. We have to be able to commit to developing a concept that will allow us to work with each other, to love each other, not fight each other and kill each other and maim each other and abuse each other. We can't do that anymore. We can't. We just simply can't. We got to get stronger together. Better, better, better together. The more that we work together, the more we learn and love each other. We lock arms and walk together, and nothing like that. Ain't nothing like building a great community and a great black family. I'm going over to 0946. 0946, this has been a great conversation. What you got for me?
Good afternoon.
Gotta bring you in, right? Hey! Oh, 0946, what's happening?
Hey, good evening, or good afternoon, I should say. Enjoying the show. But, you know, how do you deal with a person that don't know that they don't know? See, it's one thing to say you have on a blue shirt and you need to put on a green shirt, but they don't know the color that they got on. So they can't be differentiate or make a choice. We talk about choice. Choice is all about what I perceive as a choice. I'll give you a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy that was an addict. He got upset with his wife because she wouldn't give him any money for drugs, so he threw the vacuum cleaner at her. Well, when questioned about it, he said, I didn't throw the vacuum cleaner at her. I threw it in her direction. See, denial is powerful. And I have an acronym for denial, D-E-N-I-A-L, and it is deliberately erasing necessary information around liability. I'm not responsible. I don't know about it. I ain't got nothing to do with it. And so when we talk about love, and the brother said love ourselves, you got a people mm-hmm. that are dysfunctional. So their
right.
definition of love is dysfunctional. And they don't mm. know that they don't know that they don't know that they're dysfunctional.
Mm.
And that denial, and when you don't know that you don't know, how do you reach a person like that? How do you tell someone you're going the wrong way? No. Didn't you say you wanted to go left? Yeah, but that was 3 minutes ago. I'm going right now. They will contradict everything you say. They will change their mind about everything they say because they don't know that they don't know. And I think that's hard for us to accept. Something has to happen in the spirit realm in a person for them to be able to differentiate right from wrong. The old folks used to say this, you know what? I know when I'm doing wrong. I'm in trouble when I don't know that anymore. I'm choosing to do the wrong thing, but I know what the right thing is. You got a generation now that don't even know what the right thing is to do because the dysfunction is so deep today. So my question is, if you can figure out how to help a person to help them know when they don't know, then we halfway home. How do you bring a
mm-hmm.
person into reality and a perception that they are not open to? One of the things about Alcohol Anonymous or any 12-step program, the first thing they have to admit is, I am an alcoholic. Do you know how many people go there that have lost their jobs, drank their money away, did their wife wrong, children wrong behind alcoholism, and leave that meeting because they can't admit that they are an alcoholic because they are the only ones that can admit it. I can tell you that you're an alcoholic, but in order for you to get help and rehabilitation, you have to admit you're an alcoholic. And so one of the brothers was saying that people just get admit that they was a nigga, but people don't believe they niggas. People don't think they nigga. We around here talking about you what's up, my nigga. We done turned it into a term of endearment. That's crazy. It's crazy, but we don't see it as crazy. We have labeled it as a term of endearment. So now you having conversations with people that are fighting over whether we should use the word or not, like, Maya Angelou said this. She said, you can put poison in a champagne glass, but it's still poison.
Mm.
And so we have an entire generation that don't know that they don't know. So I'm open to anybody that has a suggestion on how do you get through that? Because I cannot, the truth means nothing if you can't see it. And if you believe that people should recognize it, if you tell them, then guess what? We wouldn't have the problems we were having today if it was that simple. So we have been conditioned. We have become used to, and I'll end with this. It's like the dog's been conditioned not to leave a fence. After he's been conditioned, you can open that fence up, that dog ain't going nowhere because they are conditioned. So even when you show people the light or you show people they can get out because they are conditioned, they still don't move because they don't recognize that they have a choice. So I would just like to say, I would like to hear some opinions on that. How do you get through to people that don't know that they don't know? All right. Thank
All right.
you.
I like that, sister. Thank you. Great day. I like that. How do you get through to people who don't know what they don't know? That's a hard one. But let me add this. I think what our people need, and we talked about it, and that's the theme for today, right? That theme is simply curing ourselves, right? And part of that cure is to be able to develop codes, develop systems that work for us, right? So my answer before I go on over into the line, and I'm going to tell you where I'm going next before I say that so you can prepare yourself. I'm going over to 8128, then I'm going to 9282, and then I'm going over to 4683 right after that. Here's the deal with me. We need a cure. That means relief, right? Relief of symptoms of a disease or a condition, right? We need to heal. We need to get well again. We need to be better. We need to be restored. We need to be rehabilitated. All of those things. We need treatment, right? We need to successfully cleanse ourselves of the destructive mindset that been placed in us. So we need triage. We need some help. We need a cure. We need a procedure, right, that ends the condition. Right, we need to have some spiritual, mental, and emotional surgery that changes the mindset and the philosophy of our people, that we will stop the suffering mindset, right, and that we will heal to the point where we can be again, like the brother said, gods, and that we could be men and women again, and that animals will chattel. That's what I got. I'm going over to, we got 4 minutes, so I'm going to try to get all of this in. I'm coming over to 8128. What's happening?
Hi, my brother. You know, the fact is that, yes, we really, I mean, there is just no way around it. We got a whole lot of work to do. Although I don't see it as impossible work, I see it as hard work. But it's got to be, we got to look at the fact that, you know, a lot of these people who don't know or who have told themselves that, you know, it's not really not that bad, or it's not me, or like the sister said, that, you know, the shirt is blue and they saying it's green, it's because you got to talk to people who they care about. People who they care about can change a mind a lot quicker than you trying to convince somebody logically that they're wrong, or that they're, because people listen to those who they consider significant, that they care about. So that means that you got to reach people on every level of the community. You got to reach them who they look up to. You got to talk to people who are in positions that they respect in the schools, like teachers. You got to take people to things that show themselves cultural. We have a black museum here. We got an African American museum. How many of us have been there in our community? We have,
that's a good question,
books by African American authors. How many people can call authors that are African American that they've read their book? How
good
many
question.
Places have we gone? We're, you know, we've seen African-American restaurants that are doing well in our community or outside our community. Where do we see ourselves reflected on a continuous basis to see the value that we have so that we can start to question the value that we may have in our mind? You know what I'm saying? You have to see things and you have to experience them. And you got to see them as being of value within the context of value in order for you to start seeing or maybe even considering changing your mind. Now, we need to start setting up ways in which that value can be shown on whatever level that we need to start from. You know, it doesn't matter. Whatever level that is, that's the level we need to start on. Because we really need to start capturing, and those who are going to lead the, you know, the charge and make the biggest difference are the ones who we're going to catch. You know, we can't catch everybody in the beginning, but you sure will catch more and more over time. But those who need to be caught will be caught. Those who we need to stand up, and those who need to be those representatives, they're going to come about. But we just need to start the process, brother.
All right. Thank you, brother. We're running out of time. Thank you. I'm sorry I can't get to the rest of you all, but I'm just out of time. It's just as simple as that. We did all we can today. But let me end with this. When we get to a place where we understand who we are, and the brother said we're gods and we are, But when that God in us began to activate and that we learn to live and love with each other, identify with who we are, understand who you are, understand what true love is and how to manifest that in your life and how to build, how to be responsible and how to be accountable for each other, and then use that tool. That tool of collective work and responsibility, we can make a difference in our lives and in the world. I'll talk to you all next week. Share this with a friend. We love y'all.